Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So what I'm going to focus on this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 to verse 27. And I'd like to focus on living in Him is more than words, more than results, and more than knowledge. It's more than that. And that's what Jesus, at the end of his sermon, that's what he wants us to get. It's more than words. It's more than results. It's more than knowledge. So if you have your Bible, take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, where it's more than words. It has to be more than words. Christianity has to be more than words. And words are cheap. Living what we believe, it's another ball game. And so Jesus focuses on that. And if you look at verse 20, it says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And if I just stop here for a moment, it's before, previously, in the previous text, Jesus talks about trees bearing good fruits. Some trees are bearing good fruits, and some trees are being bad fruits. And he's focusing on that. And he's saying, by their fruits, you will recognize them, by the way they live. And the fruits that we find according to this verse here is what he just mentioned on the Sermon on the Mountain. The fruits that we want to see are the fruits that Jesus is referring to here. It talks about his message and his principles that he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. So he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what is the will of his Father that is done in heaven? It's chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. What he does in this text here, he shows the difference between being fruitful and words, that it has to be more than words. And so fruit is to do the will of the Father, and we find that, like I said, in chapter 5, 6, and 7. So it's not easy, right? Josué talked about that last week. The narrow gate versus the large gate. The large gate, you go with the flow. The narrow gate is decisions you make. It's not easy to live in forgiveness. It's not easy to commit to Christ. It's not easy to be generous. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to turn the other cheek. It's not easy to do the call that God has placed on our lives. That's why we need assistance. Actually, we can't do it on our own. We need the assistance of the Holy Spirit linked with our surrender. And surrender is not it's not a weak word. Surrender, it's acknowledge that we need God's assistance. And so that we need God's rescue. So when it comes to living a life that honors Christ, it's not easy, but it's a decision that we have to make. It's a narrow road, like I said, it's not easy. So one of the things we need to understand is Christianity is more than words. I remember many decades, but it's actually that's how old I'm getting. One of the ways that we brought people to faith was repeat after me the sinner's prayer. And I remember in the context where my aunt, she came to a church meeting. I was preaching at 18, 19. I was probably 19. And she came to church. It was an Alliance Den. It smelled booze because they had a party the night before, and we were having a service in that hall, and I was competing against the radiator that was like dang, 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 dang when I was preaching. But my aunt came, and the atmosphere was like, I was talking about Jesus, and I gave this example or this invitation to salvation. And so the thing is, she was with family and all that, and it was like, give your life to Jesus now. Repeat the sinner's prayer, and you'll be saved. And she did all that, but there was no change of heart. Right? She was in a context where it was pushed. She never made a commitment. So she had a verbal say, yeah, I want Jesus in my life, but not really meaning it. And so by not meaning it, it never took roots. And it's important to realize that when it comes to words, words are great. if there's a follow through, right? And so it might start with a word, but it has to reach my heart. Would you agree? It has to be more than words. And that's what we found with the Pharisees. It was only words. They talked and talked, but they never lived it. And so Jesus is addressing that. Like it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Then if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess that you're saved. For sure, I think it's important to confess of what's happening by being convicted by the Holy Spirit. A true confession generates newness in one's heart, right? So it's more than words. I remember many years ago, I did a baptism class. And I had a few guys that showed up for baptism. And I remember asking them a few questions when it came to baptism. The first one was, why do you want to get baptized? One said, well, it's the time. It's the time in life I need to get baptized. He was around 19 years old. And okay, like, let's ask more questions. And I asked them, so when did you give your life to Jesus? And they all said, well, when we were children. Okay, that's kind of cool. I would have liked to have that privilege as a kid to have my parents lead me to the Lord. And then the third question I asked, so talk to me about Jesus right now. And they didn't have too much to say. Talk to me about the journey of your faith. Talk to me about your encounters with God, your growth, the challenges in regard of Christianity. And they didn't have too much to say. The problem is that confession is easy to say, but to live the gospel, it's a different story. And it's awesome to see kids say yes to Jesus, especially when you threaten them with the fire of hell. And they say yes because they're afraid of burning. But after that, what you do is you think, oh, they're saved now. And no, I was going to say no. I can't say no because I don't know the heart condition. But it has to be more than words. Right? There needs to be a journey. There needs to be fruits that follows the words that you conveyed or that you said. You look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, how powerful it is. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. That's a pretty bold statement, right? You choose to die, and you want to see Christ arise in you. So you've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. It's way beyond, repeat after me, this prayer. It's way beyond to say, I believe. It's absorbing a truth and having God come and rule in you. And since you have Christ in you, it changes everything. And look what it says in the verse. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's so beautiful. Christ lives in me. The reality of God dwelling in me and transpiring his lifestyle through me, his words, his action, his compassion, his care through me. And I become a vessel for him. And Christ is the Lord of my life and the mortar of my existence. It's way beyond just words, right? Way beyond just words. And it says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, meaning that I'm trusting in God, I'm relying on him, I'm focused on him, I live for him, he is my source. And he says, why? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. You see, it's alive. It's vibrant. And the problem with the Pharisees is that it was not alive. It wasn't vibrant. And so for us as believers, we need to realize that what God is asking of me is to have my heart involved and to be touched inside and realize it's more than words. The story that Jesus gives in Matthew 21, verse 28 about two brothers. So the father comes and he asks his two sons. He asks his first son, hey son, you want to go work in the vineyard? There's a lot of work to do. And the son replies, no. He says, no. And then reconsiders, and he decides to go and work in the vineyard. The second son, the father asks his second son, do you want to go and work in the vineyard? He says, yes, but he never goes. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, to the crowd and his disciples, who obeyed the will of his father? Well, they all said the first one, because it's more than words, right? What he was saying, he was addressing the Pharisees that had a yes, 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 didn't do it. He was also addressing the tax collector and the sinful people that at one point said no, but had a change of heart in the process. And now they were saying yes, right? So it's important for us to realize that it's more than words. And we don't want to get caught in this. We don't want to lose this, our heart, when it comes to what God has to say, right? And Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's way more than a feeling. It's way more than a high. It's when you engage yourself to follow Jesus. One of the texts that really rings us or speaks to our hearts is the story of the church of Laodicea. And sometimes we use this story and sometimes we don't want to hear it because it's kind of it kind of gives a negative view of the local church or the church in general. Here in the story, it says that Jesus is knocking at the door of the church and he wants to come in. It's kind of ironic when you think about it, right? Jesus is outside the church and he's asking to come in. Like, what? Where's church without him in? It doesn't make any sense. So Jesus is found to be outside. He says, hey guys, I'm knocking at the door. I want to come in. And they probably had a committee. Should we have Jesus in? And they, oh, let's pray and fast to see if we should leave, let Jesus in. Like, and so Jesus was on the outside. So we don't want to see Jesus on the outside. We want him to be in the inside. And the problem with the Laodicean churches is that they had lost focus of Jesus. I believe it was only words. It was business, tradition, and a focus on image. Nothing more. So it has to be more than words. Amen? Has to be more than words. Like I know it's easier to put action into play. I know it's easy to say yes. Like, I was talking with a builder 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about a house that was built in our community, and it was shingled, but it was never nailed. And so Manitoba wind, shingles that are not nailed, it's not a good thing, right? It's way more hard to nail your shingles. But if you don't nail your shingles, it's not good when the storm comes. We'll talk about that in a moment. So it's important to realize that it's more than verbal. God wants my heart and God wants my steps. So wherever you are this morning in this journey of life, realize that it has to be more than words. It has to involve your heart. It has to involve a follow-out, a follow-up or a following of who he is. Secondly, it's more than results. We find that in verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy or preach, communicated God's virtues, God's word in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow. So what Jesus is saying here is result is not the proof of God's approval. Did you hear this? Result is not the proof of God's approval. I could look at my own life, compare my journey, where 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I was preaching to a handful. And I could say, well, this morning, I'll be preaching to 1,000 people, and think that because of this, then it makes me acceptable in the eyes of God. Absolutely not. Results are blessings that God gives us, and the result sometimes is for other reasons. But what I need to realize is that I can't base my life on results. I can't justify my life to say, hey, because God is using me, that proves that I'm walking a life that honors God. Might not be. Like, not to be offensive here, but God used a donkey, spoke through a donkey. Like, God used Cyrus as a king to free, a pagan king, to free the Israelites from from Babylon and bring them back to the promised land. So it's way more than being used by God. It's walking with him. It's knowing him. And that's what Jesus says, I don't even know you. Wow. So it's to be disconnected with him. And we don't want to see this. We need to realize that gifts are given, but character is built. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus. Well, when it comes to this text, these person that were saying, Lord, Lord, these person are not criticized for their charismatic activities, but for their dependence upon them as a substitute for righteousness taught by Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the gift. And Jesus, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:14, strongly desire the spiritual gifts. And Jesus never said not to see the gifts. There's never been a problem with the gifts. In John 14:12, Jesus says that you'll do greater things. But the problem is that we base our lives on results. We look at our life, we look at success that we might have had, and we think that's our foundation. It's not. And you don't want to be fooled because you think that God is using you, that you're all fine and dandy. If I'm not following the ways of Christ, I'm not walking in love, I'm not walking in forgiveness, I'm not walking in generosity, and all the principle I could go through that we talked about in this series, then I'm missing the point, right? But it's easy to be caught with the results and look back at some glory moments in your past and say, oh, this is what happened. It's not enough. It has to be more than glory moments. It has to be a walk with Jesus where he says to you, I know you. And the only way that you know him is because you've been with them and you've connected with them, right? So what Jesus is saying here, know me, walk with me, and do life like me. And when it comes to the result, yeah, it's a blessing of God, but it has to be more than that. It has to be based on integrity, love, and genuineness. So it's more than words. It's more than success. It's more than results. It has to be him in my life. My third point, it's more than knowledge, you know. James says, faith without works is dead. So it's way more than knowledge. Like, we are bombarded by knowledge, right? From podcasts that we're listening to, books we're reading, knowledge is not a problem. The amount of Bibles that we have, physical Bible, Bibles on our apps, and so on, there's not a lack of knowledge, but there's a lack of putting into practice, right? And if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Can you say to your neighbor, on the rock? Yeah? On the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Can I just open this parenthesis here? Every denomination, every church organization, or any local church that walks away from the Word of God of how to live our life when it comes to doctrine or morality and so on, if there's a walking away, we'll crash. I'm old enough to see churches and fellowship that have done that. When you remove the Word of God in the church, God removes his candlestick because Jesus says that he's the Word. So if you remove his Word as being authority and directional, then we have nothing. And then Christ steps back and the church becomes a club or whatever it will become. So we want to build our life on Jesus. What Jesus is saying here is that our focus should be living out of his word. That we look at his word and we put it into practice. It should be the base of my life. It should be the base of my relationship, of my marriage, in my business, whatever I do. My goal is to apply the principles of God's word. And this causes me to be fruitful. When I build my life on his word, and when it comes to applying God's word, because that's what Jesus is talking about, he's wrapping up his sermon, and that's his conclusion. He's saying, guys, if you want to stand firm in whatever storms that you will face, apply God's word. And when you have God's word in you and you're living it, when the storm comes, you'll be able to stand. If you build your house on sand, meaning ignoring Jesus' teaching, relying on worldly values, keep it superficial, it's not going to stand. Like, the reality, storms are inevitable. Like, we look at our society, and we know the funnel approach. We're getting closer and closer to the end. So there's going to be some challenges. But even when it comes to daily living, there's things that we never thought would happen. And there's some of us, we've experienced stuff that we never thought we would. And some of us, where we are in life is not where we planned it to be. And it's amazing what God can do. He can turn everything around and glorify himself in our lives when we understand it. But storms are inevitable. But the thing is, I'm called to build my life on him. Because when storm comes, I'm able to stand. Like 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life, in the life to come. Like, can I be honest with you? I'm not ready for a marathon. I'm not a marathon. Marathon? Well, when you run 50 miles, is I don't know how many. I don't know what a marathon is. And the reality, I don't want to know. But I'm not ready. I'm like Josue talked about that last week. We are talking about having a plan to be better, to be healthier. But I'm not prepared for a marathon. I can ask another question when it comes to my spiritual life. Am I prepared for a storm? Am I prepared for storms in life? Because we know life is not a straight line. There's going to be some hang-ups and difficulties and challenges, and am I prepared for that? Well, if I build my life on the principles of God, I let them take root in my heart, and I live it, when the storm comes, I'm able to stand. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. It's more than words. It's more than success. It's more than knowledge. Realize that if you say yes to his word, you let it penetrate your heart and you put it into practice, when the storms come, hey, you will be standing strong. I like to give the example of the love bank when it comes to marriage. Crisis will happen, but if you build time together, if you invest time, you show love, you talk about stuff, and you deal with your junk and so on, when the storm comes, you have something to draw from, withdrawals. When you're in a crisis in life, in relationship, personal life, health, and so on, it's going to need a lot of withdrawals. I'm not talking about money, but emotional, spiritual withdrawals. But if I'm empty and my God bank is not full, my relational bank is not full, when I say full is to be according to his ways, then I'm running on empty. And so when the storm comes, then it collapses because I did not build on the foundation that is putting his word into practice. So it's an important factor, right? And it's not easy, but I need to plan that, right? How many of you are thinking about retirement and you say, do I have enough money? It's a normal question it's a normal thing to think about. But what about our spiritual life? Am I ready? Am I ready to face the challenges of life? Let's say this world goes south, even more than it is now. Will I stand? Well, am I walking in the principles of God, or the principle of God found in me? It's huge. It's a huge question, and it's a huge answer that we have to give, right? I need to see my need of that, right? What I did last week, I had a conference, I had a meeting in Vancouver. On the way back, I was hungry. I was in Winnipeg, and I found this Montreal steak sandwich place. It was fantastic. And I'm behind the counter, and this lady asks me, "Hey, what do you want on?" I said, "What options can I put on it?" And so I gave options, and she gave me the option and the sandwich. Well, she asked me what size I wanted. Do you want a medium or large? Well, my answer was large because I wanted to give a portion to Michelin. But I don't know if I really had that as a motive, but I went for the large one. And so the lady put stuff on the sandwich, and I had a great experience. And in the vehicle on the way back, I realized I had to stop because it was all dripping on me. But anyway, that's another story. But the thing is, I'm in control of what I can eat. I could pick and choose what I wanted to have on that sandwich. But after I ate it, I have no more control, right? I can't say, don't have calories. I don't say, don't give me funny noises. it's in me. It's in me. And that's what Jesus was saying here. What are you feeding yourself with? Because it's going to come out. Whatever you let store, whatever you build your life with, will transpire somewhere, somehow, especially in a crisis, because this is where we find ourselves, really, when we hit crises, right? In Luke chapter 6, verse 45 said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. You see? You pick and choose what you want to eat. But after you ate it, it's going to transpire through your life. So Jesus is with his disciple on the mount, and he's giving principles of how to live. And he says, this is how you will live in freedom. This is how you will have joy. This is how you will have healthy relationship. This is how you'll have an amazing life-giving life. You got to absorb it. Take that in and put it into practice. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm going to feed myself of other stuff. And I'm going to follow other gurus or whatever. And I will miss out on what God has for me. Sometimes we don't know where to start. You're here this morning and you say, well, where do you start? You know, it's like me when I look at my scale and I look at my gym. What do I do? One step at a time. One step at a time. First, I need to repent. I need to ask forgiveness. Sorry, Lord. And I need to start to feed myself right. This is why we have all this in church, to help you to feed. But at the same time, it's to help you to feed, not to feed you. Because you got to feed yourself. You got to go in the prayer room. You got to go in the closet. You got to have interaction with God. You got to get up in the morning, or if you're later, a night owl, maybe later. You got to connect. You got to go to his word and have interaction with God when it comes to his word, right? It's to make a decision. It's ask forgiveness. It's to take a step. And walk in grace, realize it's two steps forward, one step backward. But you're moving forward. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and connect with godly people that have walked further than you, that can help you out. It's more than words. Christianity is called to be experienced and lived. It's more than results. God is more interested in you and his relationship with you than what you can do for him. Don't base your relationship with God by what you've done. And thirdly, it's more than knowledge. You need to apply. You need to absorb God's principle. You need to choose to step out. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and your life has only been talk. It's okay. You're at the right place. Turn to God. See a change. Maybe you're here this morning and you used to follow God. And you were active in the church and so on, and you're not. And it's only glory days. But God wants to work in your life. That's not your foundation. Your foundation is your relationship with him. Maybe you're here this morning and you know so much, but you're not living the truth. And you went through storms and you saw who you were in that storm. And you said, I didn't like it. So I want to have a heart change. I want to have a character change. We can do that. You can see that engaged this morning if you want to. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Father, you're so amazing and you're so good. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his teachings. Oh, Lord. The teachings of Jesus are so life-giving, calling us to freedom. But Father, We stand before you this morning and we don't want it to be only words and words and blah, 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 blah. And Lord, we don't want it to be focused on success and not know you and not having a relationship with you, not having a heart-to-heart with you. And Lord, we don't want to build our house on sand. We don't want to build our house on sand, Lord. We want to build our house on your words, on who you are. So just pray, Father, for the work of your Spirit this morning in our lives, that we would be followers of Jesus, but also followers of his teaching. Followers of his teaching. Help us, Holy Spirit, to engage ourselves in learning the Word of God, but also wanting to apply and living it, Lord. Lord, I need to live it in my household, in my relationship, in my staff, in this church, in this world. Father, come and stir my heart. Come and stir our hearts and you with a fresh passion to know you and to walk with you and to live life according to your ways, to build our home on the rock. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.